We're getting a sense of how much social transformation Democrats feel they can afford, both politically and financially. Last night at a CNN town hall meeting, President Biden said he thinks he'll be able to bring progressives who want big spending and moderates who don't together in a deal soon. He said it would begin to change the lives of ordinary Americans by expanding senior dental benefits, kickstarting 4 weeks of paid family leave, but it would not provide free community college to anyone who wants it. And here's why.
When you're in the United States Senate and you're a president of the United States and you have 50 Democrats, every one is a president. Every single one. So you got to work things out.
But will he be able to? Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Margaret Talev is managing editor at Axios and Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill. Hi to you both.
Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Hi, Tanya.
Hey, so Margaret, the president really stepped up his negotiations with lawmakers this week, and he offered up quite a few details last night about those negotiations. What was your takeaway from the town hall?
It was so interesting. You don't usually hear a president or any politician be that transparent with the public and kind of let them into the circle about, like, yeah, no, I'm not going to get that. That's gone. And here's why. And here's who doesn't want it. It was an interesting strategy because I think one of the criticisms that Biden and Democrats have faced really in recent weeks is Americans don't actually know what's in this bill. Many Americans don't know. If you say Build Back Better, they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. If you say massive social spending bill, they know massive. That's the word they hear. But they don't know what they're getting. What would they get? Why are they supposed to care? Are Democrats just wasting money? Is this going to impact inflation? So by talking in specific terms about things like subsidized childcare or the climate proposals that could still be in there or benefits for seniors, he's giving Americans a better sense of what they would actually get. And by calling out Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema in a friendly way, you know, but still, he's basically telling Americans, quit blaming me. I'm doing everything I can. And he's sort of pressuring them to help make sure to land this plane and sending them a signal that on the filibuster, right, and voting rights, as soon as this is done,
right,
he wants to start pushing there again, too.
I think we're going to get to the filibuster in just a bit. But Scott, this morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that a deal is very possible. And here she is yesterday talking about being on track to meet a self-imposed deadline of today.
We've always been on track for doing that. The House has been on schedule. We have a goal. We have a timetable. We have milestones. And we've met them all. And this is one of them.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if that's actually true, considering a vote was planned and then not planned pretty much a couple weeks ago. So, Scott, should the rest of Washington be as optimistic as Democrats are about getting this deal done?
Well, I do think we've seen a lot of signs of optimism that a deal can get done. It certainly won't get done today. They will miss their Friday deadline, but that was an arbitrary deadline. That doesn't really mean too much. And they've blown past a few of these deadlines already without too much consequence. The one deadline that does sort of matter is October 31st. And the reason that matters is that's when highway transportation funding expires and Congress will have to renew it. They could simply kick it down for another month or so and extend it for one more month. So it's not set in stone, but that is October 31st, something that they are eyeing. That's also the start of a global climate conference in Glasgow, Scotland, that President Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and really all of the top leadership will be attending. And President Biden made an appeal to Democrats in closed-door meetings this week, saying, I need something to bring to the global community to show that we are actually committed to solving the climate crisis. I can't go to the rest of the world and say you guys need to curb carbon emissions when we're not bringing something to the table. So he has appealed to his fellow Democrats with that Halloween deadline, saying they need to get something passed so he has something in hand to bring to that conference in Glasgow.
You know, there's one other date that I'd throw in that mix, too,
yeah.
Scott. It was just to say it's Tuesday, November 2nd, because there's a little Virginia governor's race that day that's a lot closer than Democrats thought it would be, certainly a lot closer than Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat who's been governor before and thought he was going to claim a second term, is facing. And I think there is a thought that if they can get the agreement in principle that would pave the way for the infrastructure vote, that could be enough to help get Terry McAuliffe over the line. There's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure on progressives progressives to get this done. There can't be a vote on that infrastructure bill until there's something, enough confidence to bring progressives on board about this larger package, whatever it's going to be, $2 trillion. But that yep. $1.2 trillion infrastructure vote is widely popular, including in the state of Virginia.
Well, Margaret, I want to ask you about something else. So we know the key holdout, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, has so far refused to raise taxes, but she's now agreed to a package of tax changes. What more do we know at this point on who is paying for this and how?
That's a really important question, because there are going to be senators, Democratic senators, who are not going to be comfortable with made up numbers if they don't understand what's really happening, what's going to get paid for. And this has the prospect of further delaying a resolution on that yeah. final vote. So I think how that agreement in principle is crafted is really important.
Well, Scott, there's also something else, though. We've been hearing a lot about the growing frustration that the Biden administration is all but abandoning their progressive agenda items that benefit Black Americans. And this is significant, since we know that President Biden campaigned on many of these agenda items, like more money for historically Black colleges. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, definitely. There are some members of the Congressional Black Caucus that are threatening to hold up his agenda, this multi-trillion-dollar package, because they don't like what they're seeing in terms of funding and allocation for historically Black colleges and universities. Voting rights. We saw major voting rights legislation go down in flames thanks to Senate Republican filibuster for the third time. This year, just this week. Mm-hmm. And so there is enormous frustration, not just from Congressional Black Caucus members, but from progressives as a whole. And a lot of people are now talking about trying to reform the filibuster. Once again, we go through this exercise, every month or so after Republicans filibuster. Democrats want to see, the filibuster done away with, or certainly have certain carve outs for things like a voting rights bill. The president yesterday at the town hall or last night said he is open to that idea, but wants to focus first on his economic agenda. Then says he may be open to reforming the filibuster down the road for some of these other priorities. But that will be a heavy lift with so many a handful of Senate Democrats resisting any changes to the filibuster.
Scott, you queued us up perfectly. Why don't we hear that tape from the president talking to Anderson Cooper?
When it comes to voting rights, just so I'm clear, though, you would entertain the notion of doing away with the filibuster on that one issue? Is that correct?
And maybe more.
Margaret, the president makes some news there.
He did, but the news doesn't mean anything unless they have the votes to change the filibuster rule. And again, this is a vote that will have to come from entirely inside the Democratic Party, and it just ain't there yet. So there's a lot of frustration and pressure on Biden. Why isn't Biden focusing on changing the filibuster? And he did go further than he has before. He seems now officially fed up, and there's a reason beyond the rights of people of color in this country. It's, Democrats are very concerned that if the Republican Party, the former president, if that machinery basically weaponizes state legislatures and state secretary of states to make it harder to vote, that it will be harder to vote in ways that hurt Democrats. So this is about protecting their own ability to win majorities. But it can't happen unless the Democrats internally agree on how to change the filibuster rule, and that's just not there right now.
Can we go back to something, Margaret? You had mentioned this earlier about the Virginia race. I just want to set this up again one more time. Terry McAuliffe, the former governor, running against billionaire political newcomer Glenn Youngkin. They're now tied. Let's listen to this tape from Youngkin.
When you see something, it means one thing, but when you feel it, it's something totally different. This is no longer a campaign. This is a movement. This is a movement.
Scott, I want you to weigh in on this race, what it says about the Democratic Party politics right now, and why Youngkin appears to have the momentum.
Well, I think, you could certainly look at President Biden's polling numbers. He's now polling in the low 40s. That certainly has a lot to do with it. He's dealing with a number of crises. Certainly his handling of Afghanistan pulled down some of those numbers. We now have a supply chain issue out in some of our major ports that is creating delays for goods, getting to our front doors. So he's dealing with a number of things on many fronts, and that is all translating into, you know, motivation for Republicans to turn out in this election. And that's why at least the national media and some of us inside the Beltway are focused so much on that race just across the Potomac River. It's really, you know, we're viewing it as a litmus test for what could happen down the road in 2022, whether or not certainly we think that Republicans are in a very, very good chance of flipping the House. And I think the Senate is more of a toss-up. And I think we're looking to this Youngkin-McAuliffe race as a bellwether.
Scott Wong at The Hill and Margaret Talev at Axios. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.